You know, I love Christmas time. I love the music, the lights, the chance to give gifts, share gifts, get gifts. That's always fun. But it always feels to me like we build up and we build up all this anticipation, and then when Christmas is over, it's a bit of a letdown. Not only do we have a chance to relax, but it seems like there is a bit of an emotional letdown. All that energy and looking forward to opening those presents, and then we just rip into them and we just tear everything apart and we get what we want and we make the nice food and then we eat all the nice food and then we sit around and watch TV and football games and talk a little bit, and then it just, that energy just ebbs away from us. And then we take all those things that make the season so bright. We take the lights, we take the decorations, and we put them back in the box. Sometimes it feels to me like we do that. We take all that joy and the harmony and the sense of goodwill that we want to extend to other people, and we put it in a box. Then we put it on a shelf, and we store it away for a year. But does it have to be that way? Do we really have to wait a year to experience all of this? We've been thinking about the Prince of Peace and the peace that he wants to bring to us. Do we have to take that peace and put it in the box too? Or can we keep it with us year round? Can we have that peace beyond Christmas? I think we can. But we've got to think about how we get there. There's an old saying, it's good to be the king. Shows up in movies and literature and other things. It's good to be the king. Why? Why do we say that? Well, because the king can do whatever he wants. King gets to boss everybody around. Everybody is catering to the king. Is that really so good for us? Shakespeare, in one of his plays, said, uneasy is the head that wears a crown. Why would that be? Well, not only do they have the weight of leadership, but oftentimes they're worried about somebody stealing their crown, somebody taking away their leadership, somebody deposing them. And so it is hard to try to be king or queen, to lead other people, to be the center of attention, to have everybody fawning over you. So we have to ask ourselves, are we trying to be something that we're not called to be? Are we trying to be a sovereign that we were never intended to be? Are we trying to rule what isn't ours to rule? I think oftentimes we are, and that's where our peace slips away. So let's think about that this morning. I want us to focus on a story that happens after Jesus is born. It could be like up to 2 years after he's born when we read this account. It involves a man by the name of Herod. He was called Herod the Great. He really wasn't all that great. We're going to see he wasn't a very nice guy. But he was king over Israel at this time. And we pick up in Matthew 2, and it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. Now, these Magi were astrologers. And God, in his wisdom and his grace, he put something in there from the stars for them to see and connect and say, something is happening in Jerusalem. We should go there. And when the king Herod heard this, though, he was not overjoyed, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. Now, why was that? Well, to understand Herod a little bit, we have to know he wasn't an Israelite. He was an Idumean. He was from Edom, who was distant relatives of the Israelites, but he was not an Israelite by birth. And he was only king because his father had done a lot of things that helpful to the Roman Empire and to others, and Herod kind of worked his way in there to be seen as someone who could also advance Rome's interests rather than the Israelites. But we also know he was an incredibly violent man. He was a paranoid man. In so doing, he had members of his own family. He had his wife and stepsons killed. And when he died, he had a whole bunch of people killed at the same time. That these were his orders, that these people would be killed so there would be mourning over his death, because he knew no one was going to mourn him personally. And it says, when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Well, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied. And sure enough, that's where Jesus had been born. So then Herod called the Magi secretly, just between them. And he found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And so he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Now that sounds really nice, doesn't it? That he's going to recognize the true king of Israel. Like a lot of politicians, he was a manipulative type. He told people what they wanted to hear in this case. And he said, hey, you know, I'm going to worship him too. Oh, okay. So they'll bring the news back to him. But that wasn't what was in his heart at all. Because Herod had no desire to relinquish his throne. None whatsoever. He held on with cruel power. And he wasn't going to let go easily or willingly. It says then, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. Now, we've moved a little bit ahead here in the story. They have seen, we're going to come back to this, but they've seen the baby Jesus. But then, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. And stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That's exactly what Joseph did. He followed what the angel said. They just got right up and they went. It says he got up and he took the child and his mother during the night, and he left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Now this little piece of information we're given here reminds us of this, that earthly kings cannot thwart our Heavenly Father's plans. What God was going to accomplish through Jesus, Herod wasn't going to be able to stop. Not at all. He had it in his ability to make it happen, and he did make it happen. That's a little bit of good news that you and I can take, that God is on the move in human history. And while there are going to be all sorts of skirmishes, and there may be pain and trouble in this world, we can know that God's plan is unstoppable. But insecure tyrants, insecure leaders, bad people can still inflict great damage in this world and on other people. We're told when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, reaping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. This is a classic painting. You see in it the terrified look of this mother of what was happening. All because one man loved power more than people. Isn't that the story over and over and over again in our lives, in human history? One person or a group of people loving power more than people, inflicting damage on others. But there's some lessons for us here. It's not just about rulers over whole nations. It's how you and I individually can sometimes do the same thing. We're reminded through this part of the story that the price of saving this broken world was a high price. And it's one we need to remember at this Christmas time and going forward, so that we might have that peace that passes through everything, that passes all understanding, that goes beyond Christmas. Let's pray, and then let's sing. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you right now that we are able to come to you and to your word to be reminded of hard truths, painful stories that remind us that this is a broken world with broken people inflicting great damage, but yet in Jesus we have a hope that surpasses our wildest expectation. So help us to cling to that hope. Help us to sing with joy right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you want peace? Do you want that peace that can last throughout the year? How can we get that? Do we have to go find a rock in a secluded place and sit cross-legged and chant and try to just disconnect from all worries? Do we have to go to some room and just close out the world? Will that give us peace? Well, it might for a little while. But as soon as life enters back in, can we hang on to it? Do you really want peace? Let me give you a single bit of advice. Stop trying to be king. Stop trying to be ruler of the world, ruler of your little world. Just stop that. Let God be king. Let him be ruler. Well, how can we do that? Well, let me give you some questions for you to think about, just reflect on a little bit. I want you to ask yourself these things. First off, who are you trying to rule? Where have you set up your throne? Where have you said, this is my place? Is it with your family? Is it with your kids? I'm the king over my kids? Are you king over your spouse? Who are you trying to be the sovereign over? Who are you trying to rule? Your employees, your employer, your co-workers, your friends. Who are you trying to always boss around? Who are you trying to manipulate to get your way? You don't have to yell. Some people use silence to great effect. Some people have learned how to be very passive-aggressive, all to control their world, to bring some sense of order to it. Because they tend to think if they can bring this order to the world, if they can just kind of control everything and everybody, then nothing bad will happen. Folks, we fool ourselves so deeply if we think that we can control anything and everybody. We can't even control ourselves. So who are you trying to control in this life to get that peace? And then as you're trying to do that control, ask yourself, what damage has my controlling inflicted on other people? How have I stunted growth? How have I pushed people away? How have I wounded hearts? All because I need to have control. Have I broken trust with people because I need to control? You may ask yourself and you may think, is this me? How do I know if this is me? There's probably a pretty good chance that people in your lives have been trying to tell you this, but it's hard for you to hear. It's hard to take in. But this is something to bring to you and God. And if you're convinced, if you're convinced that everybody else in the world is the controlling person, then perhaps really it's time to look in the mirror. Now, I'm not talking about standing up for yourself and as an equal expressing your view and your thoughts, but when you have to have your way, or you fall apart, or you explode on people, then something's wrong. Maybe you're trying to be king or queen in your little corner of the world. Here's another question. Just how fake is my crown anyway? How flimsy is it? You know, if you want a crown, you can go to a restaurant and get one. Or if you want a little nicer one, you can order one for $5 on Amazon. And it looks pretty cool, you know, probably from a distance, but it's really just plastic and fake little jewels. And we can convince ourselves, you know, if we make enough money, if we have enough letters after our names, if we're the boss of the most people, if we can run the fastest, hit the ball the farthest, if we can score the most points, that somehow we deserve a crown. We deserve to be boss. We should be leading. Folks, there is not a crown in this world that is real. The only true crown belongs on the head of Jesus. Everybody else is a pretender to the throne. Everybody else is. So if you want some peace in this life, figure out what crown you're wearing and take it off. Throw it away. Cast it at the foot of Jesus. Get rid of it. Surrender it. And then ask yourself this. What does true worship look like? You know, Herod said he wanted to worship the child, but he didn't. How many times, though, do we say we want to worship Jesus, but we don't? Not really, because it might cost us something. Let's take a look at those magi. It says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's worship. These people, these magi, they crossed thousands of miles just so they could see Jesus. They went through deserts, crossed rivers, just so they could see and worship Jesus. And then when they got to him, they gave what was precious to him. Folks, what is precious to you? Is it your time? Is it your abilities and your talents? We have some tremendously talented people in our congregation, in our community. Is it your treasure? What is it that you could give to Jesus? Let me tell you what he wants most of all. He wants you to get your crown off your head, and he wants your heart. More than anything else, he wants you. He wants you to love him because he first loved you. He wants to save you from your sin, from yourselves. He wants to give you a purpose in this life. He wants to restore you to what he intended for you to be in the very first place when you and I and all of creation were created, what he intended for us to be. And all he says is just come and give me yourself. If you want peace this coming year, truly want it, you can try to have it the Herod way and try to make everyone bend to your will, but all that does is damage. Or you can surrender to the King of Kings, to the Prince of Peace, and let him reign in your heart this coming year. In a moment, we're going to take communion, and I invite you, as you look at that bread and look at that cup of juice, and to see in them messengers of peace, promises of God's love for you, what his love for you And you being with him was worth to him. It was worth Jesus on the cross, his sacrifice, so that you might have that peace, not only at Christmas time, but throughout your entire life. Will you pray with me? And as we have this next song, take communion and give thanks for the love that is ours in Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this bread. I thank you for this cup. And I thank you, Father, that we have this hope in Jesus, who gave his life for us so that we might have the peace that passes all understanding and isn't limited to a short time of the year, that we can have throughout the year and throughout our lives and even into eternity with you. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.